appreciate the very good singing this morning, and I hope it's an indication of the desire that you have within to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that would honor him, a way that would please him. I'm thankful for the opportunity as part of our worship service to continue our study in this book of Acts. We're just kind of getting started. And last week, Nancy and I were not able to worship with you all in the morning service because we were out of town involved in other ministry, but missed being here, prayed for you while we were away. I heard good things about Pastor Ward's message, and thankful to open up to Acts chapter 1 with you this morning. I hope you will open up to Acts chapter 1 as we are, again, in these very, very early chapter, this first chapter, this early portion of this book, this account that we know as the Acts of the Apostles. Just a little bit of review real quick. The Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, has ministered to his followers, and Luke wrote about that, right? Remember, Luke is writing this. This is Acts. And Luke already wrote the gospel that we know, that we just call it the gospel according to Luke. That's what chapter 1 of Acts, verse 1, refers to. The first account I composed. And then he says, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. So we already know what happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you want to review that, Luke would say, just go back and read the gospel account. Now, what's interesting, if we could just review just for a moment, is Jesus spends roughly, basically, 3 years of his life with his followers. He tells them repeatedly that he's going to die, he's going to go to a cross, and yet they really just don't understand that. He then adds to that that he will be raised from the dead, and they still don't understand that. Jesus dies on a cross, he is buried, he is raised from the dead, and they're shocked as if they've never heard it before. And so they're struggling, obviously. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ in this 40-day period where he, that's from verse 3, appears to them speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And he's telling them that they are going to share this gospel message, that they're going to be witnesses, and oh, almost by the way, if I could say it that way, he's leaving. Now, these followers haven't done all that well so far. Jesus clearly tells them what he's going to do, and they don't pick up on it. I'm not suggesting that we would do any better. And yet, Jesus is telling them that they're going to be his witnesses, and he's not going to be with them. And how in the world could that possibly be the case? Well, we, of course, know the answer to that, right? Because what does Jesus tell them? Notice verse 5 of Acts chapter 1. But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Notice again, please, verse 8. What you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. How in the world are Jesus' followers going to witness and share that gospel? And the answer in two words, one person, is the Holy Spirit. So the message this morning I've called Word-Filled Witnesses. You may be thinking, didn't you mean Spirit-Filled Witnesses? Well, hopefully by the end of the message, that'll be more clear. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as an act of worship, we can gather together. And we pray as we open up the words that you've breathed out in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would meet with us and work in us and change us into the kind of witnesses you would want us to be. Father, if there is anyone here who's not even ready to think yet about being a witness because they're not yet a follower of Jesus, that even today that person would come to a realization of his own sinfulness and of Christ's great salvation, and that you would supernaturally draw that one to yourself, and that they could then join us as followers of Jesus, and even more than that, as faithful witnesses to To that end, we ask for your help and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I've called the message this morning, Word-Filled Witnesses. And I want to begin, actually, our first point is going to be something of a review. I want to talk about Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and the importance of being Spirit-filled witnesses, because Spirit-filled believers will witness. And Jesus is telling his followers, you will be my witnesses once you're filled with the Spirit. You say, how can that be? This first point is actually a review of what we covered in the previous two messages. Spirit-filled believers are spiritually minded. Would you notice verse 3, please? It says, Jesus presented himself alive after suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of things, here's the key phrase, end of verse 3, concerning the kingdom of God. Jesus is all about the kingdom of God. So Jesus is trying to get his disciples ready to share this gospel so that people would repent of sin, put faith in Jesus as their Messiah, and become part of this kingdom. And what do Jesus' followers do? Well, notice, please, verse 6. When they come together, they were asking him, Jesus, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And our first thought is, what? What do you mean restoring? What do you mean Israel? What do you mean the kingdom of Israel? Jesus is ready for the gospel to go forth, for Jews and Gentiles both to put faith in him and to begin this new organism we know as the church. And what are they thinking about? They're thinking about earthly things. They're thinking about temporary things. They're thinking about what's on their mind because they're not spiritually minded at all. See, Spirit-filled believers would be spiritually minded. These men are not yet ready to share the gospel and watch Christ change the world because they are not Spirit-filled believers. The Holy Spirit has not yet come in a way that we talked about in previous messages. But once the Holy Spirit comes, what would happen? They would begin to be spiritually minded people. Why is it true? Let's just apply it to us. Why are there so many times, right? You've done this, I've done this. I have wonderful opportunities to share the gospel, to talk about Jesus, and I actually think about him later. And I think, you know, I could have shared, you know, here I am praying, Lord, would you help me to be a good witness, to share the gospel? And then the end of the day, maybe I'm thinking, I had a wonderful opportunity, and I wasn't even thinking about it. And why wasn't I thinking about it? Because I wasn't spiritually minded, which means at that moment in time, I was not a Spirit-filled believer. Spirit-filled believers are spiritually minded. They're looking for opportunities to share the gospel. When I'm going through life, not even looking for opportunities to share the gospel, I'm just into my life, I'm running errands, doing my thing, mark it down, I'm not a Spirit-filled believer. But when the Holy Spirit fills me, then I am thinking, Lord, I would like to have this opportunity. Spirit-filled believers are more than spiritually minded. Those Spirit-filled believers are Spirit-empowered. Because I think you would also agree with me, I think there are times where I've been spiritually minded and I wanted to share the gospel and I had an opportunity and I'm thinking, this is it. And for whatever reason, I didn't seize the moment. I was nervous maybe, or just confused, or frightened, or something. And I just, for whatever reason, was even spiritually minded thinking about it, but I did not do it. You say, what do you call that, Greg? I call that not being filled with the Holy Spirit. The followers of Jesus Christ must be spiritually minded and spiritually empowered. I will never share the gospel unless I'm looking for opportunities. That's being spiritually minded. I will never effectively share the gospel unless I'm spirit empowered. It's not something we crank up. It's not something we do in our own strength. It's something that God's Holy Spirit does within us. And I say this to encourage, not to put anyone down. If you're not thinking, at least sometimes, about sharing the gospel with people and then actually sharing the gospel with people, the reason is because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't say the Holy Spirit does not indwell you. All true believers are indwelled, but you would not be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we see here in Acts. Jesus knows that these followers need to be spiritually minded, spirit empowered. It's not going to happen until the Holy Spirit would come. And he did come. And now all true believers are indwelt by him. This weekend was kind of a nice, just nice weekend. Friday night we went to a football game and actually got to go and watch a couple of our young people from Trinity here playing the band. And that was fun. And just watching a high school game, watching the young people in their band, and they did a fine job. I was proud of them. Saturday morning, slept in a little bit, and grabbed a hot cup of coffee in the morning, and my Bible, or my little mini iPad, and I'm reading my Bible on, and just enjoying it, just enjoying some time with the Lord. I didn't have anywhere I had to be, and just kind of relaxing and spending some time in the Word and in prayer. And then after that, thinking, you know, I'll go ahead and just run a few errands. And when I'm out running errands, thinking, you know, I need to get a quote on some tires for my truck. And because I know that they're wearing down quite a bit. And so I go to a tire shop, and I'm talking to the guy, and he says, let's put it on the lift. I want to show you your tires. And two of them are down to the tread wear line indicators, if that's the right word. And oh, by the way, here's a screw in one, and here's a nail in one, and here's a hunk of metal in one. And he says, where do you drive, you know? And I don't know, I just drive. Well, he says, you know, the service person, advisor person will give you a couple quotes. I said, yeah, that'd be great. And so their tires are maybe a little bigger on my truck than some others. So, you know, it's about an $800,000, $900,000, you know, a chunk of change to buy four tires. And I have them installed, which, you know, for me is a lot, and for most of us probably a lot. So, you know, she's doing that, and I'm looking at this young lady, young to me, an adult woman. And I'm just kind of looking at her and just thinking about her and where are you from? And how long have you been in Green? Do you like being a service writer? You say, how do you talk? Just ask people about themselves. And whatever answer you give me will determine my next question. Where are you from, Florida? What brought you up to this part of town? Well, this kind of job. How'd you get interested in this kind of job? Well, you know, my dad used to work mechanically. Do you actually work on cars? I do. Do you enjoy that? Well, not really so much, but it's a job and it helps provide for my family. Tell me about your family. Oh, how many children do you have? What do you like to do with your children? I'm just talking to her. And then as the conversation goes on and on, yeah, my husband that I really don't, we're not together anymore, but he sometimes takes them to church. What do you think about that? Well, I'm not really into this Christian thing. Well, why would that be? Well, you know, I had a dad, and he kind of hit me and then said I was saved or whatever, and I didn't really follow it altogether. And then I'm thinking, well, I say, well, what do you think about Christianity? And she says, you know, I was just arguing with someone the other day about Adam and Eve and whether they're real. And I said, all right. I said, you ever read the Bible? Well, you know, a little bit maybe, yeah, kind of. And I'm trying to think what, you know. And I say to her, you know what, and we talked a little bit about her kids and going to the zoo, and our kids used to go to the zoo, and, you know, just whatever. And then I said, you know what, would you want to one day spend some time reading the Bible? Could I tell you where you would begin? I mean, if you really want to be sure, I know you're not real excited about what you're saying is this Christian thing. I didn't tell her as a pastor. But I said, I there's a place in the Bible. Can I just explain this to you? She said, yeah. I said, in the Bible, kind of in the middle, it divides Old Testament, New Testament. There's these four, we call them Gospels, and they're all about Jesus. And they go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you wanted to read one place, would you read in John? Because if you would read there, you would learn about Jesus, and you could come to some solid conclusions on what you really believe. Would that be something you would want to read? Would that be interesting to you? And she's like, well, I said, I'm not asking you to promise, but could I just take out this little pamphlet and pull out a church tract, and I'm going to write on here, the Gospel of John, and circle it, and just maybe sometime you would want to open up a Bible and really try to figure out what's true about Jesus. Nothing more important than knowing Jesus. And if you read the gospel according to John. And she said, well, I'll keep that in mind. I said, that's wonderful. And so I pray by God's grace that maybe one day the Lord would somehow use that one little incident in her life story of coming to know Christ, I trust, one day. Now, here's my point. You say, Greg, how did that happen? I have been to so many stores where that has not happened because I was not spiritually minded and I was not spirit empowered. I'm not bragging or anything. I'm simply saying, at least praise God one time. Here I am in a store, and rather than thinking $1,000 for tires, $900, no, I'm thinking, I wonder what's going on with her. And just some clues as I was looking at her were kind of making me think maybe not a believer, just some language and whatever. I wonder if she knows, she probably doesn't know the gospel. She probably doesn't know Christ. You say, why was that even on your radar? That's not me, that's the Holy Spirit. And then as the conversation got to a place where it just seemed like such an easy thing to talk to her a little bit about scriptures and about Jesus, you say, how did that happen? That's not me. Again, I'm not telling you somehow I got this thing figured out. I just know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I care about stuff like that. That's being spiritually minded. And then the Spirit helps me to be able to talk to someone. And I didn't give her the whole gospel. I didn't even give her a big piece of the gospel. I just tried to do the best I could at that moment of time. And I trust that as we all would take advantage of those opportunities, that the Lord will continue to work through us in people's hearts as we share the gospel. But first we have to care about it. That's being spiritually minded. And then we have to take advantage of the Spirit's power to know what to say and how to say it. And this will not happen until we are filled with the Spirit. If I were to ask you to think of one verse in the Bible that talks about being filled with the Spirit, where would you go? What verse are you thinking of? One verse in the New Testament that talks about being filled with the Spirit. It's a command to be filled with the Spirit. Are you thinking about it? What verse are you thinking about? Anyone? Are you thinking about maybe one verse? I was expecting like 35 people to be saying, no, I want to say it first. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled. Were you thinking maybe of that? Maybe you say, well, I just didn't remember the reference. I understand that. And that certainly happens with me a lot of times. I'll be thinking, well, I kind of know what the verse is. I just don't know the reference. Would you turn in your Bibles to that verse, please? We're studying Acts, but our next point is actually going to be from Ephesians. Because I want to address a very practical question. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? I'm making the point from Acts chapter 1, I think Luke is making the point, that we will never be spiritually minded or Spirit-empowered until we're Spirit-filled. But what does that mean? Well, maybe going to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 will help us. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And even though we're in Acts, we're going to have this whole second point from Ephesians chapter 5. And let's review that verse that, like, even if you didn't know the reference, once I read it, I think it's someone you've heard before. Ephesians 5:18, Paul writes so, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We all have seen people that have been intoxicated, some perhaps even first-hand knowledge. And what happens when a person is drunk with alcohol? Well, the alcohol controls them. The alcohol changes how you walk, right? What does the policeman do when he pulls over a car and he thinks it's a drunken driver? Maybe, at least they used to do this. Can you walk a straight line? The alcohol changes how we speak, and in our speech, one speech would be slurred. See, the alcohol controls us. So what does this verse mean, Ephesians 5:18? Do not get drunk with wine. That is, as wine would control you, don't do that, but be filled with the Spirit. As alcohol controls every aspect of a person who drinks it, a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit will find that he is controlled in every way by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not the main point, but just so it's clear, right in the middle of verse 18, right after it says, do not get drunk with wine, it says, for that is dissipation. And I have to admit, when I read that, that doesn't really ring clear with me. What does that mean? In which is excess or in which is dissipation? And maybe just the Holman Christian Study Bible would be helpful. They translate it this way, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, which leads to excess, which leads to reckless dissipation or reckless actions. When people are under the influence of alcohol, it influences every area of their life, and it leads to doing things that are reckless. Paul's making the point in 5:18, if we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, what would it do? It would affect every area of our lives. You say, what kind of areas of our lives? I want to stay in Ephesians 5. Let's just do a quick survey, and hang in there with me, because I'll tie it up at the end in a way I hope that's helpful. What are the evidences of being filled with the Spirit? Drop down to verse 22, please. Notice in verses 22 through 24, it says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. I mean, what woman wants to submit to her husband? And the answer is none. I mean, ladies, men don't, no one wants to submit, men or women. That's not a slam on women. You say, but what happens when people are filled with the Holy Spirit? Things change, and wives submit. That's why this follows Ephesians 5:18. When the Holy Spirit controls a woman and fills a woman, a married woman, then she would submit to her own husband. This does not teach submission of men to women in general, of women to men in general. It teaches the submission of a wife to her own husband. You say, well, what about in the life of a husband? Well, we see that in verses 25 through 33. Look at verse 25, Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, just as also Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then it goes on and on. I'll just go to verse 28. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. What husband wants to love his wife? None. I would rather love myself, right? Why in the world would I care about someone else more than me? That's contrary to the selfishness that's within all of us. But Ephesians 5:18, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, then a husband, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is able to say, you know what, I'm actually going to put my wife before me. But let's keep going. There's chapter 6 about children. What does it say? Verse 1, chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, the promise that it may go well with you. What happens when children are spirit-filled? They obey their parents. What children want to obey their parents? And some of you parents will say, not mine. But before you say that, what would you say when you were a child? You say, okay. All right, now I get it. All right. None of us wanted to obey. But when someone puts faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's controlling you, then children obey. And what do fathers do? Look at chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Fathers, apart from the Holy Spirit, provoke their kids to anger, right? Just shut up and leave me alone. And the kids are provoked to anger. But when a father is filled with the Holy Spirit, he brings up that child, what? In the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Not heavy-handed, but nurturing, loving, caring, right? And then at the same time, admonishing. Let's keep going. What about slaves in the ancient world? Well, verses 5 through 8 talks about that. Verse 5, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. And then, of course, in verse 9, the masters, the same thing. Masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. Okay, big picture. Jesus says that followers of Christ will never be witnesses until they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? What does that mean? Well, in Ephesians 5, Paul says, if you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, wives will submit, husbands will love, children obey, fathers nurture, admonish, parents, slaves serve, masters are fair. Okay. But how does it happen? How do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? I mean, we know from Acts that if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we would what? We would be spiritually minded and spiritually empowered. We would witness. We know from Ephesians 5, all of these neat things will happen if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. How does it happen? Do we pray for it? Should we wake up every day and pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit? Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit? Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit? Is that how we do it? Do we fast or do some other kind of spiritual exercise? Do we just sit and say, you know, God's sovereign, and whenever he wants to fill me with the Holy Spirit, he can. So just kind of sit back and relax, and hopefully one day you get it. What would you do if this were a short answer test, and I asked you the question, in one paragraph, how do you get filled as a believer? How do you become filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, here's what I think is the answer to that question. And the key is going to be the evidences of Ephesians 5. Remember, wives submit, husbands love, children obey, fathers nurture, admonish, slaves serve, masters are fair. Please keep that in mind. And turn with me, please, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I'd like us to consider Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And I think we'll have our answer on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and thus be spiritually minded, spirit-empowered witnesses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes, Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. The idea of dwelling is the idea of being at home. We've all visited people and they said, you know what? My house is your house. Make yourself at home. And they meant it. And you were sitting in the house and you could put your feet on a chair and it was okay, right? You know, you didn't have a woman looking at you like, you know, make yourself at home. Don't put your feet up, you know. And you're thinking, come on, man, you didn't mean that. You're allowed to go to the refrigerator and you didn't feel awkward. And if it was nighttime, you could grab a snack or something because you just felt comfortable. You felt at home. That's what that word means, verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell or be at home within you. Now, here's what I want to point out, please. If God's word is richly dwelling in me, then what happens? Well, drop down to verse 18. We see that wives will submit. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Please drop down to verse 19. We see that husbands will love. Husbands, love your wives. Look at verse 20. We see that children obey. Children, be obedient to your parents. Look, please, at verse 21. We see that fathers would not exasperate your children. That's the idea of embittering your children so that they would not lose heart. Go down to verse 22 and following. We see that slaves will obey their masters. And then finally, verse 1, chapter 4, probably not a good chapter division there. But chapter 4, verse 1, what do masters do? They grant their slaves fairness and justice. If you're remembering at all the second point, what were the evidences of being spirit-filled? And the answer is what? The same evidences as being word-filled. Paul makes it crystal clear. If you're filled with the Spirit, this will happen. If you're filled with the Word, this will happen. And they're the exact same thing. You say, how in the world could that be? Because they are the same thing. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled by God's Word. You don't get filled with the Spirit by closing your eyes, getting on your knees, and praying, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, and stopping. There's nothing wrong with being on your knees and praying, Lord, fill me. But then get off of your knees and take your Bible and open it and read God's Word, because God the Father speaks to us through the Spirit as the Holy Spirit illumines our mind to the Word. And that's how in Ephesians Paul can say, you know what, be filled with the Spirit, all these things will happen. And then Paul can write in Colossians, be filled with the Word, let it dwell within you richly, and all these things will happen. And they are the same thing. To be filled with the Spirit is to let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's what I see in the Scriptures. It's not an incredibly intense mystical thing where I'm walking down the street and, whoa, what was that? I think I just got filled by the Holy Spirit. But it's the idea of opening up the Word. Lord, would you please help me this day to understand what the Word says and to let that Word be at home in me? And then what happens? As you submit to it, Word-filled believers are Spirit-filled witnesses. So as we wrap up this morning, as believers, the Holy Spirit already indwells us. What is our great need? He must fill us. He must control us. And that will only happen as God's Word richly dwells within us. If I am not spending time in God's Word, if God's Word is not at home in my life, I am not a Spirit-filled Christian. Now, you may be thinking, but Greg, there's times where I was knocking out Bible reading. I mean, I was just cranking out chapters every day, and I wasn't really witnessing to anyone and wasn't even thinking about it. I understand that. It's possible to read the Word and not submit to the Word. But you can't be Spirit-filled without the Word dwelling in you. And graciously, God helping us to submit to it. The Holy Spirit fills us and controls us as the Word richly dwells in us, making us spiritually minded, Spirit-empowered witnesses. This is how we get filled with the Spirit. And it cannot happen apart from the ministry of the Word. You and I, we all must be in the Word. I don't know if for you, and I would recommend this to all of you, and I realize I can't give you a verse to say it this way. I just to repeat, I know I'm repeating myself. Are you engaged in regular Bible reading according to a plan? I don't care what plan. Are you spending time every day? You might be reading the same book over and over. You might be reading the New Testament over and over. You might be going through the whole Bible in a year like many of us are doing. But not just, yeah, open it, whatever. Yeah, a little bit, whatever. Take a quick snack. No. Are you engaged in regular Bible reading? You have to be in order to be a Spirit-filled Christian. We all must be. Let me close with a simple illustration. I mentioned yesterday morning I had the opportunity to get some quotes on tires and things. I made a phone call to another shop and talked to them and made a decision to go get tires. The guy said, you know, I'm kind of slow. I could really use business. And talk to me, what would it take for me to have you come on in? And we talked, and so I ended up taking my truck, and he said it's going to take about 2 hours to put tires on your truck and get an alignment. I said, okay. And so we set up a time. Yesterday afternoon, I went to a second tire shop. So I'm in the tire shop for 2 hours. I have my laptop with me. And I was actually thinking about the girl at the first tire shop wondered, Lord, I wonder if she'll ever read John. Boy, I hope she reads John. And there's a guy, another customer in this tire shop, and he's watching sports on television. I have my laptop. I'm reviewing the sermon a little bit. I have Acts up in front of me. I'm just kind of sitting by myself. And I make small talk with the guy, and he's a Clemson fan, and I kind of root for Clemson a little bit, so we talked a little bit about Clemson, and that was pretty much it. And so, I just be frank, I didn't feel like talking to him. Is that okay to admit? You ever not feel like talking to people? I don't know what it is. I ate lunch, and maybe it was after lunch, and I was just kind of like feeling not, you know, I get a little bit tired after lunch, all right? It's after lunch. I'm sitting there. I have my laptop open. I'm looking at Acts. I'm looking at the sermon. There's a guy. We talk about Clemson, and we're finished, and I'm thinking, good, now I can get back to my work. I can get back to focusing on the fact that Spirit-filled believers are spiritually minded. So I'm sitting there looking at my sermon. Spirit-filled believers are spiritually minded. They look for opportunities to share the gospel. And I'm so convicted because here's a guy sitting there getting a radiator hose fixed, and I'm almost kind of like, wow, we're done talking. And that's good because now I can work on my sermon with this point. Spirit-filled believers are spiritually minded. And I say, Lord, please forgive me because I am not right now filled with the Spirit. And so I pray, Lord, forgive me. And I just kind of set the laptop down and, hey, where are you from, by the way? Oh, I'm from, you know, such. Yeah, interesting. So how'd you become a Clemson fan? I just, whatever they say, that's my next question. And we talk and we talk and we talk. And then how about you? Well, actually, I was at Ohio State when I went to a Bible study and I heard the gospel and I became a follower of Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Really, I'm saved too. Really? He said, yeah. And he told me a story about someone in his family passed away. He said, it really shook me up. And the preacher talked to me and he said, you know what? This could happen to you. You need to get saved. So I did. And this is what he said. I got saved, I got baptized, and I even got the certificate. Okay? He said, I know I'm saved. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting a certificate. You know? I hope, so we talked, and he talked. We talked for a good half hour, 45 minutes. He says, you know, a lot of my friends think I'm crazy, and, you know, I don't really hang out with a certain group, and I don't kind of do those things. And we talked, and I trust that he really would know the Lord. And seems he said, you know, one of, he says, you know, not that this matters, but he says, every time I think of John 3:16, I just think how wonderful that I could have my faith in Jesus, and I know everything's going to be fine when it's all over. Now, is he a true believer? I hope so. I invited him today. I haven't seen him here. Maybe one day he would come and worship with us, but my point is this. Here's me at a tire shop in the morning, not really thinking about tires, thinking about someone who needs to hear the gospel. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Only 5 or 6 hours later, here's me in another tire shop, and I'm not really even looking for an opportunity because I'm not spiritually minded. So being filled with the Spirit is not something like you could plug in the morning and it's good for the day. Yesterday reminded me of that. But it's the kind of thing that if we spend time in the Word and the Word is within us and we're meditating on it and thinking about it and submitting to it, then what will happen? We will be spiritually minded, Spirit-empowered witnesses. The Lord wants you to witness. The Lord wants you to tell people about Jesus. We all don't have to do it the same way. But the Lord, if you know Jesus, the Lord wants you to tell people about Jesus. Just like praying, just like reading your Bible. The Lord wants you to do that. It's not something just for the guy that's a pastor, deacon, or elder. The Lord wants you. You say, Greg, but I'm not even thinking about it sometimes. Yeah, nor am I. And sometimes I think about it, but it doesn't seem to go well. That happens to me too. You say, so what do I do? You have to be filled with the Spirit. And how do I do that? You must be in the Word. Word-filled believers are Spirit-filled witnesses. Let's bow our heads, please, as we close. Very simple. Before I pray in just a moment, if you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus wants you to witness. But you won't until you're Spirit-filled, and to be Spirit-filled is to be Word-filled. So the question this morning is very simple. Are you spending time in the Word on a daily basis, doing more than just reading it and checking it off, I did it, but praying, Lord, work in my life that I would be a spiritually minded, Spirit-empowered Christian? And you'll know if that's true because you will be looking for opportunities to witness. And God will give you the grace to do that. If you're currently not doing that, we're just going to pause. No, come forward. No, raise a hand. What matters is you know it and God knows it. Would you be willing in just a moment as we pause to pray, Lord, forgive me for not spending time in the Word and letting the Word spend time in me. And by your grace, I want to be a Word-filled, Spirit-filled Christian so that I'm spiritually minded, looking for opportunities, Spirit-empowered to take advantage of the opportunities. Lord, by your grace, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. Would you help me? And if you'd like to pause to pray that, you can do that right now.